With only 12 days remaining in his term, calls are growing louder from both parties for President Trump to leave office early after this week's deadly mob violence at the Capitol. In a letter to House Democrats, Speaker Nancy Pelosi said if Trump does not leave office imminently and willingly, she will proceed with impeaching the president for a second time. Deputy House Speaker Catherine Clark told CNN's John Berman this morning that Congress could act quickly.
We can use procedural tools to get articles of impeachment to the floor for a House vote quickly.
When is that?
Well, that will be early as mid next week.
And as you heard Peter say, some Republicans are also calling for impeachment, too. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse said yesterday that he would consider voting yes. Our Friday's roundtable, Politics Roundtable, joins us now to parse through this developing story. We have with us Olivia Nuzzi. She's Washington correspondent for New York Magazine. Welcome, Olivia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Aisha Roscoe is NPR White House correspondent. Hey, Aisha.
Hello.
Well, let's start with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who yesterday called removing the president an urgent matter.
While it's only 13 days left, any day can be a horror show for America.
Olivia, right now, is Pelosi still hoping that Vice President Pence and the cabinet will invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president?
It sounds that way, although when I talk to people who are speaking to Mike Pence, they tell me that the likelihood that those conversations are even serious is very slim. But, you know, I think it's interesting that for the majority of this week, Nancy Pelosi, other political leaders have been basically treating Mike Pence as though he is the president. They've been bypassing the White House formally, bypassing Donald Trump altogether. And just this morning, Speaker Pelosi said that she spoke to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, and to discuss the available precautions for preventing an unstable president from initiating military hostilities on accessing the launch of nuclear codes and ordering a strike. So they are already acting as though Donald Trump is not president, and really he has not been acting as if he's president since the night of the election, since Arizona was called. He has never had a real interest in governing, never had a real interest in the boring, serious aspects of being in that office. And he has basically abdicated his responsibilities. And now we're seeing the results of that, which is that Mike Pence is the one who, during a crisis, during a Capitol siege, is in touch with the military, is in touch with the Pentagon, is doing the things that ordinarily a president would be doing. But when it comes to the 25th Amendment, I'm still hearing that it's not serious as it relates to Mike Pence considering it. But I do think that Democrats remain hopeful, and some Republicans, of course, have come out and spoken in support of this as well.
Well, Aisha, I'm curious about the schedule here, because if the 25th Amendment isn't invoked by the vice president, as Olivia just told us, it doesn't look like it's going to be. They have said they'll start the impeachment process. There's just 12 days left in his term. They say they can expedite a vote before then, but there's also, you know, a Senate trial. Realistically, could this happen before or after the president is out of office? I mean, what's the schedule look like to you?
The impeachment could definitely happen before the president is out of office. You know, they can move ahead and get a vote. You know, Democrats control the House. They can move ahead and get a vote, and he can be impeached. Now, the removal is another part, you know, is another issue, because, as you said, there has to be a trial. You would have to, you know, that's going to be, you know, Republicans working on this, and how do you get that together? That's a whole other issue. But you could definitely have an impeachment. And in that case, President Trump would be the first president to be impeached twice. And it just seems like there are a number of lawmakers who are saying that what happened at the Capitol cannot just be let to stood, that something has to happen, even if it doesn't end up in his ultimate removal, but that there, that Congress needs to send a signal that this was unacceptable.
Olivia, we are seeing some Republicans break with the president in the way, in a way that they did not during the first impeachment. What's the lay of the land there within the president's party?
Well, you know, this started after after election night, really, where Republicans started to move further and further away from the president, as it looked less and less likely that he would remain in power. You know, we should say it doesn't really take any courage at this point to go against the leader of your party who is on his way out. The fear with Donald Trump is always that he would, you know, send a mob after you. No, bad language to use today, but he would sic his supporters on you through a tweet, that he would attack you and get you primaried, get you out of office by basically cyberbullying you if you were a member of his party. It's an entirely self-serving calculation. And we see with how Lindsey Graham has chosen to speak this week, just how self-serving the calculation has been and how much it really has been tied to your own personal fate, your own electoral fate for lawmakers. So it's easier than ever to come out against a president or to split with him if you are a member of his own party this week. And we're seeing that now. There's just less and less to fear when it relates to him. There, even if you are the type of Republican who would want to appeal to his base going forward, would hope that his supporters would continue to support you going forward, it's not clear how transferable his support really is. And this is something that I was talking to an advisor of the president's last night, who was talking about how the president feels about other Republicans in his party, about Mike Pence. And the advisor actually quoted the president as saying, "My base is not transferable."
I want to ask you though, Olivia, then, about Vice President Pence, knowing this. I mean, we're hearing that he's working in the vice president's mansion. He's reportedly deeply disturbed that Trump put his life in jeopardy at the Capitol by not calling in the National Guard immediately. How striking is it to you that Pence has said he feels betrayed by Trump after years of agreeing or even downplaying Trump's false claims and rhetoric?
I mean, it's striking because it's entirely not surprising, right? I mean, anyone could have seen this coming. Donald Trump is someone who has demonstrated again and again that he is not loyal to the people around him, even if they have been loyal to him for years or decades. So I don't think that anyone who has been paying attention, anyone who knows much about Donald Trump, can really go into a relationship with him thinking that they're going to be repaid if they just do right by him and stay by his side and stay loyal the entire time. I mean, we've seen with the closest people around him how quick he is to cast them aside if that becomes beneficial to him in his interests. I'm surprised that Mike Pence is expressing surprise. And we heard earlier this week that he said to a lawmaker on Capitol Hill, I believe the quote was, "After everything I've done for him." You know, I think it requires a bit of a suspension of your critical faculties to stick around the president and remain loyal for as long as Mike Pence has.
Aisha, last night in a video, President Trump acknowledged he will be leaving office and called out the rioters he encouraged. Let's listen.
"The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay."
Aisha, Olivia kind of laid out for us what we think Trump's state of mind is right now. But what are the main concerns over the next 12 days? What is he likely to do?
Well, we don't know. And I mean, we have to be honest and frank about that. We really don't know what is going on. President Trump is not speaking in public, you know, other than that speech that he gave to the people that ended up going and, you know, mobbing the Capitol. He's not speaking in public. He's not holding public events. And really, his press secretary is not taking questions publicly. So we don't know what exactly is going on with President Trump. And even when I talked with the chief of staff for the acting defense secretary, Christopher Miller, I talked to his chief of staff, Kash Patel, and what he said, he couldn't even confirm that the president had talked to the defense secretary on Wednesday when this was happening. And so it's really striking that you can't even say whether the president talked to the defense secretary when the Capitol was under attack. We really don't know what is going on right now with President Trump.
And Aisha, we only have a minute here. One thing we know he will not be doing in the next couple of days is attending Joe Biden's inauguration. How unprecedented is that? And what does it tell us about his state of mind?
Well, it is unusual, highly unusual for a president not to attend his successor's inauguration. And so he will be one of the just a handful of presidents who have not done that. And no modern president has done that.
All right. Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House correspondent, and Olivia Nuzzi, Washington correspondent for New York Magazine. Thanks to you both. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.